So, today, I thought I'd talk about the concept of who am I. This comes from a guy called Ramana Maharshi. If you look him up, Ramana, R-A-M-A-N-A. And his whole meditation, he was a very profound man, his whole meditation was based on finding out who he was. Who am I? And when he meditated, all he did was he said to himself, who am I? Who am I? This is a kind of a meditation I fell upon accidentally when I was much younger, because I realised even at an early age that I was lots of different people according to the company that I was in. I was lots of different eyes, or lots of different selves, and each of these eyes that I had a different identity, had a different will, had a different agenda. I had lots of different eyes. You know, if I was with the boss at work, maybe I was sycophantic or cowering. If I was with my wife, I'd be one way. If I was with my friends, I'd be another way. If I was with my kids, I'd be another way. If I was on my own at 12 at night looking at the internet, I might be another different person. If I was watching the news and saw something I didn't like, I might be judgmental. You know, if I was looking at bankers on the television, maybe I'd be cynical or angry, or I'd have lots of different personalities, and all of them were I guess they were all battling against each other. And I see this in most people. You only have to visit any of the message boards on the internet and you'll see lots of people in their different guises, lots of people with their different eyes, and each different eye having a different will, and each different eye having a different agenda, and each different eye having a different opinion. So you see somebody having an opinion, say, on a Facebook page or on Twitter or on the social media, and then when you meet them, you're actually talking to an entirely different people, an entirely different person. You see somebody that's, you know, you have a drink, you go and have a drink with somebody and you sit down with one person, and 2 pints later you're talking to an entirely different person. I once went on holiday with a friend of mine to America and realised when I was there that I was sitting with a racist, and I just couldn't catch my breath. It was just that when I've been with him normally in kind of environments that weren't pressured, I just got his best game. My son used to say this to me. He used to mention somebody, and I'd say, I met that guy, he's a nice person. And he said, yeah, but you know, when people are around you, Dad, they're always on their best game. And I thought, that's very true. But I was similar. I can remember in the early days writing things on Facebook and then come away and thinking, who was that? Or saying things on Twitter and thinking, who the fuck was that? Who was that that said that? Or I'd be an entirely different person according to the circumstance, especially if there was temptation or pressure placed in front of me. So the concept of who am I is really important, because if we don't know who we are, then we can't really get any control of the reality that we're creating, because each different eye is creating a different reality or a different perception of reality. So, you know, if you think about, say, the Dhammapada, which is it's classed as the Buddhist Bible. In the Dhammapada, it says that what we have today is as a result of what we thought yesterday, and what we have tomorrow is as a result of what we thought today. So we create our reality with our thinking. I have no doubt about that. There's no doubt in my mind. That's how I live and breathe. Everything I've ever done, everything I've ever achieved has come from my thinking. But then you have to ask yourself, who's doing the thinking? Who is the I that's doing the thinking? Because today my eye says I'm going to start a diet, and then tomorrow or 2 days later or 2 weeks later another eye says, what are we doing this for? I can't do this. One eye says, I'm not happy, you know, being a smoker, and then another eye p- picks up a cigarette and lights it. One eye says, I need to get rid of sexual pornography. Another eye forces you against your own will to go and sit down and watch sexual pornography. One eye says, I'm very moral. Another eye is flirting with the secretary. One eye says, I am very ethical. Another eye fiddles his books or downloads stolen material or uses stolen material in their business, and rationalizes it and, you know, justifies it. So it's true that we create, from my perspective and from my own life, I've created lots of great realities with my thinking, and I've created lots of negative realities with my thinking. I've created and destroyed lots of things just with my thinking. So my dilemma was, if the thinking is what's creating the reality, if that's the film which this light projects onto the screen of our reality, then I need to make sure that I'm in control of the thinking. And then, of course, you realise it's not about being in control of the thinking, it's about recognising who's doing the thinking. So these sub-personalities, or these shadows, or these demons, in the old days, our negative beliefs were called demons, and our egoic body was called the Satan. Or it was known as that. And Satan means to be divided against yourself. It means to be more than one personality living within the same body. So our beliefs are what create the reality, our thoughts. But we've got to ask ourselves, who's doing the thinking? Who is thinking? Today I say I'm going to book on that course. I'm going to go off and I'm going to change the world. And then tomorrow I talk myself out of it. Or my wife talks me out of it. Or my friends talk me out of it. Or I talk myself out of it by saying, I haven't got the money, I haven't got the time, I haven't got the inclination, I haven't got the health, I haven't got the fitness. So we've got to recognise and identify who is doing the thinking. Until we recognise who's doing the thinking and identify who the chief thinker is, who is the sentinel thinker, who is the one we want to be thinking for us, we're always going to be creating disparate realities. We're always going to be creating division within our own life. We can create prolifically. When I was a doorman, I had a great fear of violent confrontation, so I became a doorman to overcome my fears. But my negative identity, my fearful self, my insecure self, the part of me that believed that the world was dangerous and had to defend myself against it, that thinker created a huge violent reality. Hundreds of clubs, hundreds of fights, clubs, nightclubs, fights at christenings, fights at wedding. Everything in my life was violent because this part of me that was a dominant thinker was creating that reality. It was very powerful to see, very powerful to watch. So I was creating the reality because I was thinking from the wrong place. So I'd be hugely violent. And then I would come home and sit in bed and feel this rush of conscience and feel terrible. And then my ego voice would kick back in again and say, well, he deserved it. And it was, you know, it wasn't your fault. You did the best you could do. Even your friends said it wasn't your fault. And then start to rationalise it. So I realised there was lots of identities, lots of eyes. Each of them with their own will, each of them with their own agenda. And these separate eyes, or these separate personalities, would take their turn at the helm. So that's why over a period of a day, I might change personality very subtly, 10 times, 20 times, maybe hundreds of times. And then you're sitting at home thinking, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I go there? Why did I think that? How did I believe that? I got to the point where there was times where I was thinking, I can't believe I've done that to myself again. I can't believe I've put myself in that position again. And of course, I hadn't. It wasn't me. This kind of temporary caretaker. So you imagine a negative egoic voice comes up and does something inappropriate, has a feed, falls back down again, goes back to sleep. And then this temporary caretaker, this temporary ego comes in and think, what have I done? What the fuck have I done? How am I going to tell my wife? How am I going to tell my children? I was talking to some lads in prison last week and I realised that none of the people in there actually committed the crimes. It was separate personalities, separate parts of themselves. And they would sit in prison and think, why have I done this? Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep falling into this place? Well, it isn't them. It's a separate part of them because they don't know who they are. They have no idea who they are. So the first thing to do, for me anyway, was to identify not so much who I was, but who I wasn't. I wasn't violent, I wasn't cynical, I wasn't insecure, I wasn't jealous, I wasn't envious, I wasn't greedy, I wasn't cynical, I wasn't any of those things. They were like personality traits or individual eyes that were all inside me, collectively, like a crowd, and most of them were not aware of each other. Some of them joined together and created, you know, like a powerful identity, but most of them are not aware of each other. And I certainly, as a caretaker or as a temporary caretaker, wasn't aware of these separate personalities rising up, taking over, creating mayhem, falling back down again, leaving me to pick up the pieces. So this is what you see in most people, you know. So just a basic study of psychology will show you all these things. There's a great book called 101 Defenses, and it shows you how we build defense mechanisms or buffers around these separate personalities so that we don't have to look at them. I don't want to look at the part. I don't want to look at the part of me that's a thief. I don't want to look at the part of me that's violent. I don't want to look at the part of me that's envious or jealous or greedy. Or I don't want to look at the part of me that's afraid. I don't want to look at the part of me that's abusive. So we create buffers around these separate parts. So we don't see them. We're not really aware they're there. And when these things rise up to be fed, and they say, go to the internet, watch porn, flirt with the secretary, fiddle your books, they rise up to be fed. We engage them. When we engage them, they become us. We are incarnated into that personality. But the changeover of personality is so subtle that we don't notice it happening. It's so regular we don't notice it happening. We just think, I need to get more control of myself. But which self? Which self do we need to get more control of? So the key isn't that. The question isn't, do our thoughts create our reality? Of course they do. It's obvious. I mean, have a look at anything around you. Anything in the room that you can see now, and you'll see that it was created at the genesis was somebody's thinking. And somebody took that thinking into three dimensions and created from it. And we can be very powerful creators. I'm a very powerful creator. But we've got to recognise that we're not the only thinker. There are dozens. Gurdjieff and Ouspensky believe there was hundreds of separate identities, all working on their own, not really aware of each other, each thinking that they're you. So we think these personalities are us, and then we think we've got to deal with that, but they're not actually us. They're actually sub-personalities or shadows or what Eckhart Tolle calls pain bodies. Eckhart Tolle did a great book called The Power of Now, and the technique in it is 6,000 years old, and the technique is about observing sub-personalities, observing shadows, observing separate identities, and dissolving those separate personalities until we become unified, until we become one. So we allocate a top dog or a chief steward or a chief caretaker or an authentic voice or a sentinel voice. We actually bring a voice forward and say, this is the voice, this is the top dog, and this is what's going to run all the other eyes, all the other noises, until eventually we become aligned, we become absolute, we become at one, or what they call atonement, we become at one-ment. When we are aligned to all our separate selves, and we are aligned to righteousness, which means the right path or the right way, when we're aligned to God or to our authentic signature or to our soul, whatever you want to call it, when we're aligned to that, we become a great conduit for power. A massive conduit for power. So when this energy comes through us and it hits the film of our cognition, it comes through clean and projects onto a beautiful reality, a reality that we've created. But we have to get the eyes in line. We have to do that. One of the techniques you can do to see who you are is, as I said earlier on, is to see who you're not. So one technique you can do for that is to observe yourself. Over the period of a day or a week, just observe yourself and observe how many times your personality changes and how many times those different personalities are conflicting. I sat with a guy one day who said to me he hated black people, never liked black people, didn't like the mixture of colours, didn't like interracial mixing and all the rest of it. And I said to him, that's really interesting, but that's not how I feel. And I said, I love cultural diversity. I said, I just see souls. And he goes, well, I'm not, you know, I don't really, he said, I don't really dislike black people. I don't, you know, it's not that I don't like them. I just don't think people should mix. I said, it's just a, just the colour of her skin. I said, you know, it's just a different culture. I said, there's massive amounts that we can learn from each other. But I said, underneath that, it's just souls. And he goes, well, I mean, you know, I don't mind people mixing and interacting as long as my daughter doesn't bring one home. And I said, what, like your daughter brings one home like it's a piece of shit on her shoe? Is that what you mean? Well, no, that's not exactly what I mean. I mean, I'm not racist. This is what he was saying. And eventually this guy changed his personality so many times that in the end he was practically trying to ring his daughter up to get her to marry a black guy. Because I was talking to lots of different separate eyes. He didn't really know who he was. He had no idea who he was. I know exactly who I am. I'm aligned. I'm full of faults. And I'm full of shadows that are coming up that I'm processing and I trip over most days. But I know exactly who I am. And I work on that connection and that alignment every single day. But it's took me a long time. It's took me a long time to find that. When I got my fifth dan in karate, it was a master grade. And I was really excited. I've got this fifth dan. And then I looked in the mirror and I was jarred. Gurdjieff would call this a shock. I was shocked. I looked in the mirror with this fifth dan and thought, I'm not a master. I'm not a master of myself. I can have a fight. That's it. I was still addicted to sex. I was still violent. I had no control of my eating. I had no control of my moods. I had no control of my separate eyes. I didn't even know I had separate eyes. I was about 4 stone overweight. If my wife didn't want sex, I would slam the door and be moody. Basically, I would bully her. You know, very subtle, but that's what it was. I was jarred at how little of a master I was. So I started to work on all the areas of myself that I felt I had no control. Started with palate. The good thing about palate is it jars you, it creates a shock. When we create a shock and put pressure on ourselves, these separate personalities emerge and they start talking to you. They talk to you in your mind and sometimes they project out and talk to you through other people. So when I give up alcohol, as an exercise in abstention and as an exercise in observing personalities, because when we put any pressure on ourselves, we will observe separate selves. When I gave up alcohol, I immediately felt the voices rising up saying, why can't we have it? We should be able to have it. There's nothing wrong with the drink. Bang, 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 all this kind of stuff. So I started hearing separate selves. Then when I sat in a cafe with my friend and I said to him, he was a fellow martial artist and he was a senior martial artist. So I felt I could share it. I said, I'm giving up alcohol just, you know, as an exercise in abstention, as an exercise in Budo. And he just said, oh, for fuck's sake. He said, I'm not giving up alcohol. And I said, well, I wasn't expecting you to give up alcohol. It was just saying, I'm giving up. He said, listen to me. He said, if I can't have a drink, I might as well go to the nearest oak and swing from it. I'll have a drink. If I want to have a drink, I'll have a drink. And I realised I was talking to his shadow. I was also talking to an extension of my own shadow. And it had quite an effect on my life, just giving up alcohol. I lost quite a few friends because the personality that would have a drink with them was no longer there. I'd dissolved that, and the dissolvement of that had created a shield, and I'd expanded. So just by going into palate, just by changing what I ate, I was able to observe exactly who I wasn't because they rose up and spoke to me. And it's really interesting when you start to do that, because not only do you recognise the feelings of a separate self wanting to be fed, you recognise, you know, it actually speaks, you'll hear it in the background talking to you. And the moment it does that, you're able to observe it. And in observing it, your observer, which is your authentic self, expands. And as your authentic self expands and becomes more muscular, your egoic selves contract. So as you contract, you expand. As you expand, you contract. Because as we get a stronger authentic self and a wider conscious net, these sub-personalities or these egoic personalities can't exist. They can't exist in the light of even being recognised. So once you start finding out who you're not, and you start acting on who you're not, and you start creating and developing who you actually really are, you start to get a unification, an absolution, and then you've got this collective body of energy all formed into one, creating a unified goal. So we're not going out there doing one thing today and then trying another thing tomorrow. We're going out there to create and to experience one thing. This is where I'm aiming, and the whole factory, the CEO, the manager, the foreman, the workers, the factory, we're all aiming in the same direction. So people want unification in the world, they want world peace, but we can't have unification in the world while there's not unification in the individual. We can't have unification in the world while there's not, we can't have peace in the world while there's not peace in the self. You know, we can't bring the world together while we can't even bring ourselves together. It was Tolstoy that said everybody wants to change the world, but nobody really wants to change themselves. I've got friends who want to take on the world, but they want to change the world, but they won't take on themselves, and they can't change their socks once a day. They haven't got the discipline to do that. So they've got ignorance, so they're not aware of their separate selves, and they've got no will. They've got no. When we start controlling palate, when we start controlling ourselves, we develop will. And that will and that knowledge enables us to go out and say, what reality would I like to create today? I can create any reality. We kid ourselves. We kid ourselves that we have free will. But if you think you've got free will, try and control what you eat. Try and control what you drink. Try and control how you gossip. Try and control how you judge. Try and control how you are, when you're with somebody that's of no profit to you at all. You know, people distinguish between a guy on the street begging for coins and the CEO who's worth 100 million. There should be no distinguishing. They're just souls. The way we treat the least is the way we treat God, is the way we treat, the way we treat the least is the way we treat the best, because the least and the best are exactly the same. It's all exactly the same. So figuring out who you are, who are you? Who is it that keeps bringing you into these places? Who is it that keeps creating these negative realities? If we don't figure out who we are, we have no chance at all of creating the reality we want to create. We may create material abundance, but we'll still be in the ninth circle of the inferno. And I've got friends who are worth half a billion, but they've got three mistresses and a cocaine addiction. They're the most unhappy people I've ever seen. What's the point of having all that if you've lost your soul? So it's not that you can't create. I know people that are very, very rich, but they're very unhealthy. They've got no relationship with their wife. They've got no relationship with their children. They've got no relationship with themselves. They've got no relationship with their family. I've got friends who sell drugs from my old life who are millionaires, but they're living in abject terror, quiet terror all the time, because the door might be kicked in at 4 a.m. in the morning, which it usually is, and their wife's on Valium, and their kids are wayward, and their friends do not respect them. Their friends are afraid of them. So the meditation is just to say, who am I? And again, you know, practical purposes, we can just go straight to our Facebook, straight to our Twitter, straight to our social media. That's a good way to look at who you're not. Normally, if I bump into people and I say, this is who I am, and I say, that's not actually true, because I've seen your Facebook posts and I have no fucking idea who that is. It's not the person that's standing in front of me now. The person that's standing in front of me now is very beautiful and I love this person. But that person on the Facebook page, I have no idea who that is. I have no idea. There's 10 different people on there, and all of them are insidious. So that's a good place to start, and just generally observe yourself throughout the day. If you're the manager or you've got a position of power, how are you treating the people that are under you? Because the people under you are the people you're supposed to serve. You might be the best bloke in the pub, but how do you treat your wife? You might be the best husband, but how do you treat your mother? You might be the best son, but how do you treat your sister? You might be the best brother, but how do you treat the stranger? You might be great with strangers, but how do you trust the person that's close to you? You might be great to all those people, but how do you talk to yourself? How do you treat yourself? How are you with yourself? When you're on your own with yourself, how do you talk to yourself? If you get those voices and put them separate to you, how are they talking to you? Are they being kind? Or are they attacking you? So find out who you are, first of all, by finding out who you're not. If you want an indication, just take your clothes off and look in the mirror. That'll give you an indication straight away of just in your body, your health, your weight will give you an indication, a visual indication of where you might be going slightly off already. And your views, if you're throwing slippers at the television and calling the presenters names, you know, we're starting to look at who we're not. You know, if we're bullying our wife into sex, we're finding out who we're not. If we're a different person when we're with our wife than when we are when we're at work, as in we're following different values. I don't mean that we, you know, everyone puts on different hats, but are your values the same? You know, if you carried a tape recorder around with you, say, just imagine today that you carried a tape recorder around with you, and maybe over a week, and everything you say is going to be recorded, and it's going to be played to all the people you've spoken about. Would you say those things in front of those people? Are they your true self? Are they your real personality? Probably not. So if you want to create the kind of reality you want to create, we recognise that it starts with thinking. Always starts with thinking. But who is the thinker?